for just a few minutes of time to a couple of portions of the scripture that I feel on my heart. I'm going to read, first of all, from Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Then I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. It's good to see all of you here today. God bless you. If you are visiting with us, we are so thrilled to have you. We also want you to know that if you're here today and you have not repented, you have not been baptized in water with the name Jesus called over you, and you have not received the Holy Ghost evidenced by speaking in other tongues, then you're lost. That means you're not going to heaven. That means that you won't walk on streets of gold. That means that the rapture will be to none effect to you. That means that you're going this way instead of this way. That means that there is no salvation outside that plan and program of God. Praise God. Just thought we'd let you know that before we got started, because you'll never be saved any other way. That's the only way. Well, Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I don't think I will hold you long today, but yet don't hold me to that just without a little flexibility. I'm going to speak to you from just a very simple thought. We're living in a modernized age. We're living in what is called the computer age. Computers are taking everything over. They've almost become a substitute for the wisdom of God. And it seems impossible that on the area the size of an inch square, that an entire building full of records can be transmitted and put into a computer bank, and just with the right combination get all that stuff out of that. What I wonder sometimes on these computers, though, is what's going to happen if something goes haywire and you can't get it out. It's going to be rough. But we're living in a computer age. They're making automobiles. You don't have to have a key to get into them. You can punch out them sequence of numbers, those buttons there. You can open that car. You can punch a button here, and it'll tell you how much gas you got and how far you can go and how many miles to a gallon you're going to get while you're going. We're living in a computer age. Every month when I get my monthly bills, I know none of you get any of those, but I get them regularly. And when you get messed up with the computer, you're in trouble. You're just in trouble. And here a while back, I got tangled up with Exxon Gas Company. And I tell you what, I give them quite a lot of business, and probably some of you do too, but I'll average around $500-$600 a month to Exxon, and I got tangled up with them because somewhere or another I sent something in and they didn't put it on the computer. They sent me one of these little nasty letters, you know, about you better pay up. And so I went to the bank and got all the records I could get and the check and made copies and sent it, and the computer said, we have no record. Well, we finally got it straightened out. But it was a hassle because we're living in the computer age. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes today from the thought, programmed for victory. Programmed for victory. Now, a computer can only assimilate and store and give out what is put into it. It cannot give you one thing that was not first put into it. It can give you no answers until you ask some questions or formulate some kind of a program for it. It's impossible for a computer to give you something of its own ability. There are so many things, and I'm not a computer expert, but there are those general codes that plug in a company, but then there are the specific individual key codes that the individual's got to get into and know and understand before they can punch in the general code. Or you can punch in the general code, but until you punch in that specific code, you can't get out of that the information or what you are trying to get out of it. And you know, in a great sense, the church is like a computer bank. We can only give out what has been put into us. But I want to make you acquainted today with some things that have been put into us. The scripture said, "Behold, I give you power over scorpions and serpents." Now we know that this is maybe not necessarily a literal thing, though we do have power over scorpions. Put your boots on and stomp it. You find a snake, get your hoe or your gun and cut it to pieces or shoot it to pieces. So I guess we could say in a sense that is something literal, but we know that's symbolic, that's typical. And we know that scorpions represent false doctrine. And serpents represent false prophets. But God said, "I've given you authority." Well, that's what power literally means. Authority over those false doctrines. And also over the false preacher. But he did not stop there. That would be well and good. If that's the only power we had, we could cut a pretty good sized path through this world. But he did not stop there. He put something else in us. For he said, "Not only do I give you power over false doctrines and false preachers, I give you power over all." Have we ever stopped to think about that? Not some, not a portion, not limited anyway. He said, "I give you power over all the power of the enemy." So, the general code that the church has got to know in order to plug in and get out what they need is J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. That's the general code. You're blocked from the start if you don't have that. No man has a right to the riches of heaven without the revelation, the understanding, and the taking on of the name of Jesus Christ. But that is not the individual key code. Every one of us possess an individual key code. Oh yes, we believe in the name of Jesus Christ. Every one of us have conquered probably the apostolic doctrine. I'm probably addressing a group of people that by and large believe in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what the apostles preached. You believe what they preached. And you know what they taught. And you've got an understanding of it. But we need to do more than conquer the apostolic doctrine. We need to get a conquering of the apostolic spirit. And the key code is F-A-I-T-H. You can shout Jesus until you go hoarse. But if you don't have any faith, then the name of Jesus will do you no good. The scripture says, teaches us, along with history, there was a man called John. Well, the song says, "I'm talking about John, the Revelator." And we're taught that that man was assailed against by the powers of hell and the powers of the world and the powers of the church world. Three dimensions he fought in. He didn't fight just the world and the lust of the world and the flesh and all of those things, but he had to fight against the church world. And he also had to fight against the spirit world. And John, the scripture teaches us, and before the scripture gives us an insight into this particular instance, we look back in history and we find out they decided, we'll ball him in all. But I want you to know something. John was a tough old bird. When they bit into him, they bit into more than they could chew. They might bite him, but they're going to have a hard time digesting him. You can chew the preacher up and eat him and swallow him, but he's going to make you sick to your stomach when you do it. It's the truth. They tried to ball him at all, and he wouldn't ball. I just see the scene today. I'm not a Sunday morning preacher, so y'all just going to have to put up with me in this. I just see the scene today if it was the same thing, you know. And here we were. Here they're coming, and they got a big vat of oil, and it's just a bubbling. And they've told us now, we're fixing to put you in this oil. Man, you talk about hollering for mama. Somebody help me. You talk about saying, God, why me? You know, why do we do that? The first little thing that comes against us, we say, God, why me? Why am I having all this problem and trouble? Well, he wants you to know, and he wants the world to know, that he's put something in you that's greater than circumstance or environment. But when they led John to that vat of oil, he didn't even resist them. And when they put him in, they expected to hear him scream and carry on and go into kind of, a coma because of the pain. And he didn't do nothing but just sit there and enjoy it. I don't believe he was burned. I don't even believe he got red. And at Shreveport, while I was over there, just before I come here, there was a young boy, maybe 2 years old, if even that old, just toddler, just walking. And he fell into an open flame furnace. Around the first or second, third week I was there. You say, oh, well, you know, it undoubtedly wasn't bad. And I'd been preaching faith for 2 or 3 weeks, and they were getting ready to rush him to the hospital because he fell into this open flame furnace, and it took just a moment to get him out. Well, you can imagine the problem that he had. And so the mother said, no, let's go by the church. Brother Smith been preaching faith. Let's go by the church. And so they come by the church and went by the prayer room, prayed for that boy, and there wasn't even a red spot on him. Somebody said, well, I don't believe he really, you know, he must not have really got hurt. The furnace went on. Yeah, it was on. Well, he wasn't in there long enough. I'm going to tell you, you just stick your finger for just one instant into the fire of your stove, and then you tell me that there wasn't any burn or anything. It was there. But God is the God and the master of every circumstance. And I don't believe John even got hot. I don't believe he worked up a sweat when he was in that vat of oil. Why? Because God said, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, and that was part of the enemy's program. They said, well, we can't take care of him that way. We'll do it another way. And so we read how that he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. And they said, man, when the wild beasts don't tear him, then those crazy demoniacs that are running around that deserted area, if the wild beasts don't get him, they will. But, oh, I'd like for you to read for yourself Revelation chapter 1. I believe it's verse 10. Something that just thrills my heart. Maybe it don't do nothing to you, but it makes me want to jump up and down and shout hallelujah, because I read, and he said, and I, John, was in the spirit on the Lord's day. I've been born in all. I'm out here with a bunch of demoniacs and wild animals, but I am in the spirit. And if we can understand there is a refuge, there is a place of safety, I can get into the spirit.
And when I get into the Spirit, circumstance means nothing. Environment means nothing. When I can get into the Spirit becomes the master. I am programmed for victory. And I punch in the specific code, L-A-I-D-H, and that activates the general code, J-E-S-U-S, and by faith, in the name of the Lord Jesus, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I give unto you power to tread on scorpions and serpents, and power over all the power of the enemy. I'm going to tell you, I don't like lies. I can't stand hypocrisy. And it just makes me mad to know that today, on a day we call the Lord's Day, though every day belongs to Him, there are untold thousands of false prophets standing in pulpits spewing forth the poison of scorpions, false doctrine. And there are churches today that are being taught you cannot receive the Holy Ghost evidenced by speaking in other tongues because that was only for the apostles. Well, I'm telling you, if those dingbats would read the word of the Lord and get that cobweb out of their mind, that dispelled that right there, because 120 received it in the very first round. And then they said, well, it was just for the 120. Well, they still haven't read far enough, because 3,000 were added to the church, and then 5,000 received it, and the followers of John the Baptist received it, and the household of Cornelius received it. And he said, for the promises unto you and to your children, to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so it is for us today. Preaching in Kaiser, West Virginia, and we got into the summertime, so we decided to try to do something to attract attention. So we got to wear about two or three nights a week before service. We'd start at 6 o'clock. We'd load up trucks and buses and cars, and we'd go out on the streets, and on the street corner we'd have a street service until 7:30. We started service at 8 o'clock, and we'd leave the streets at 7:30, get back to the church, get everything kind of in order, and then we'd have church. And man, we got some attention. A very staid, conventional, denominational town. But during the course of all this, the organ player, who was under written contract with the Episcopalian church there, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She told the vicar, she said, I want to tell you something. I will finish out my contract, because I do have a contract. But as soon as the last note of the doxology is played, I'm going to be gone from here. He said, well, what's wrong, Barbara? Where are you going? She said, I'm going down to the Bonneview Apostolic Chapel. They got something down there. It's not a dead, boring thing. There's something real down there. And so the vicar talked to his wife and said, honey, you know, we can't afford to lose Barbara. She's a good organist. And besides that, she don't need to be mixed up with them bunch of crazy people. They're religious fanatics. We need to get her out of their clutches. That's some kind of an occult down there. They're crazy. So he sent his wife on one Thursday night with Barbara to the service. And she walked in, and she was very, very afraid, because she had heard so much. Listen, honey, we don't have any powder to sprinkle on you. I wished we did. We don't have any liquid to drip on you. If we did, I'd buy it by the tank car load. You'd get the Holy Ghost whether you want it or not. If I could powder something on you, sprinkle it on you, you wouldn't have a dog chance. I'd get the biggest men that I could find, and we'd pour it on you until you couldn't stand it. But we can't do that. She come and sit over in this area here toward the front, and the service began to move, and the Holy Ghost began to move, and before she knew what had happened, she was on her feet with her hands in the air, and her tongue was saying something she didn't know. And when she come to herself and found herself talking in tongues, she grabbed a purse and run out the door and went home. Now her husband, the vicar of the Episcopalian church, you know, he was sitting in his study preparing his, whatever it is they do on whatever day it is they have service, and he was in the study, and she burst through the door of the study, and she said, guess what, Horace? I received the Holy Ghost. Man, he liked to lost whatever it was he was working on. He flung his glasses off and said, "What in the world are you talking about? What's wrong with you?" She said, "I got the Holy Ghost. I talked in tongues." He got up and he was so angry. He said, "What's the matter with you, Lucille? You know that you can't get the Holy Ghost. You know that's just a bunch of fanaticism. What's wrong with you? You can't get the Holy Ghost." She said, "If I can't get it, why did I?" I'm going to tell you something. Those narrow-minded, ecclesiastical, bigoted individuals that say God's not giving the Holy Ghost today, I want to serve notice on them. I don't intend to give up 1 ounce of the Spirit. I'm not going to give it back just because they say I can't have it. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to keep it. And I'm going to enjoy it. Well, he talked with her and talked with her, but he could not dissuade her because she knew she got it. He said, "I know what happened to you. Them bunch of people got around you, and one got in one ear, and the other got in another ear, and they shook you, and they hollered and screamed, and they got you so confused you didn't know what you were doing, and so you just started blabbing away." She said, "Nobody touched me." When she got the Holy Ghost, she was standing there by herself. No one touched her. No one said anything. In fact, really, we didn't even notice she'd got the Holy Ghost. We didn't know anything was you know, out of the ordinary, just the Spirit moving and people dancing, shouting, carrying on. But, you know, we didn't know until she ran out the door, and then we figured what happened. And he said, "I just don't understand." He said, "I thought I taught you better than that." He said, I see I'm going to have to go myself." And so he decided to come. It's either Friday or Saturday night he decided to come. And I felt sorry for our ushers. Now, I'm not poking fun. If I'm poking fun, it would be at our ushers for anything. He walked in the door, and we could tell he was a preacher, you know, by the way he's dressed. And he had a large gold chain around his neck with a cross hanging off of it. And when he got to the edge of the building, he dropped to his knees, and our ushers thought that he had fallen, and they run over to help him up. But he hadn't fallen. That was just the way he entered into the building. And he'd stop ever so often and kneel down, and he'd kiss that thing that was around his neck, and then he'd get up, and he walked all the way down to the front. Right here. Right here. That's a good place for him, isn't it? Might as well get on his back. I never could understand why there was more people on the back than there was at the front. Only thing I know is something wrong with your spiritual connection when you'd rather gravitate to the back than you would the front. Hello? Y'all back there? Now, when that's the only place left, but when people fight to sit on the back, oh, well. His wife sat beside him, and Barbara sat beside his wife. And I preached a message that I've never preached before nor since, and I guess it's a good thing. I preached a message entitled God's Graveyard. That's what I preached on, God's Graveyard. And, you know, he was against everything I was preaching about. Y'all know what God's graveyard is? Sure you do. And the Spirit hit him and knocked him on his hands and knees into the middle of the floor. He jumped up, looked around, but nobody knocked him off except God. He got up and he sat down again, and I preached a little bit more, and every time I'd talk about God's graveyard and name it, Jesus, he'd whop, knocked him back out the second time. He's getting upset. The third time, God knocked him off of that pew onto his hands and knees. And the fourth time God knocked him off, he just stayed down there and shook his head and wallowed. And the Holy Ghost come on him, and he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost on his hands and knees in the middle of the aisle. And we know that he did because we heard him speak with tongues. He went back to his church that Sunday, and Barbara, of course, was still there under contract, fulfilling her obligation and her duty, and she was playing the doxology and all, and he walked into that pulpit and began to preach to them, and it wasn't what they used to hear, because he said, "I want to tell you people something that I've come into contact with," and he told them, "You need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus and receive the Holy Ghost." Man, the board of directors board members, whatever you call them things. I don't know. I always felt like a board was only good for building things. You know, I didn't know it was good for anything else. But anyway, his board of directors there, the trustees, the deacons, whatever they call them there in that church, they didn't even wait for the service to get over. Man, they got up and walked out and met. And they called the head, whatever he is, over all that thing there. And they said, listen, something wrong with that preacher. He's gone mad. He's gone crazy. Why, he's preaching something we've never heard in our life. The man lost his church. They took it away from him. But that was all right. Though he lost the church, he gained his salvation. He was able to save his own soul. Listen, God has given us authority. God has given us power over all the power of the enemy. I was preaching in Texarkana, Texas. Well, I'm just going to talk to you a little bit. I'm not going to try to preach here this morning. You come back tonight, and I'll try to preach to you a little bit. I was preaching in Texarkana, Texas, and, you know, sometimes we just do things different. And when I preached in some areas, they thought I was so wild and woolly that they nicknamed me the Louisiana Wild Man. I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but, you know, I just can't help it. When the Spirit moves, I'm going to flow with it. I don't care if everybody's sitting like a bump on a dill pickle. I'm going to move when God moves. So we went outside, got a trailer in there, pulled it up, a gooseneck trailer, and pulled it up and put speakers on top of the building and got ready to have revival at there on Texas Avenue and all we could see and had a large congregation right there. But I was up on the trailer and I could see out people that get out on their front porches and cars that come up and they'd park a block away. They wouldn't come right up to us because they're afraid we'd get on them. They're afraid we'd rub off. Listen, I'm going to tell you, if we could rub off on this world would be a much better place. If we could give it to them, they'd be in a lot better shape than they are now. And one night I was preaching away and I saw these fellas come up on their bicycles. And I could see this passing out their literature to my crowd. Now, the only reason those people were sitting on the hoods of their cars and parked around there and on their front porches is because we was having church outside and they thought we was crazy. But I tell you what, they sure did like the singing and I don't know what they liked about the preaching, but they was out there. That was my crowd. Wasn't their crowd. So I watched them a little bit and I got mad. Yeah, I did. I got mad. M-A-D, mad. Now, the Bible doesn't say it's wrong to get mad. It just says don't be a sinner when you get mad. And so I decided to do something about it. I said, hey, you on the bicycle. Three or four up in there. One of them turned around and they're like, I said, yo, you. I said, you don't believe what I'm preaching, do you? No, he didn't. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I challenge you to come over here to the edge of this trailer and let me lay hands on you. And if God doesn't do something for you, I'll give you the microphone and you can preach. Well, he conferred with his fellows there, and that was a challenge they couldn't really ignore because I did say a few other things too. I just kind of zipped it up where he couldn't get out. The only way he could do was come down because I know God. Well, they slowly pedaled over to the edge of the parking lot, and he was the only one. He left his bicycle there, and the others, you know, gathered around it. The others wouldn't come in. I guess they was afraid we'd get on them, too. And he didn't like it. He didn't want to, but he done put himself in a corner. So he come to the edge of the platform. I talked to him just a minute, then I laid hands on him. And I said, now, God, this isn't my gospel. Oh, no, it's not. It's your word. And Lord, it's not my name that saves, it's thy name, Jesus. Now, God, you see all these people, man, people had moved in closer. Some were standing up on the hood of their cars in the bumper trying to see what was going on. I said, now, God, you see all these people are looking. Now, you either going to have to do something to him or I'm going to have to close this thing out. And about that time, he began to give it this. Just like you'd take a basketball and lay it down on the floor and pat it until it, and then he began to give it this. And the next thing you know, he got the Holy Ghost. Sure he got it. We know he got it. We heard him speak in tongues. You know, I didn't know you could burn rubber on a bicycle. But you can. They did. Those others that were there, friend, they didn't wait. They didn't tear it. They laid a strip down and they was out of there. Why? Because God said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. You can tread on those serpents and scorpions. Yeah, we did have a good revival. I'm going to tell you something. When we can get into that dimension of faith, this is the victory that overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world. This is, what is? Even your faith. And when you can get into that dimension of faith where you're not afraid of the devil. Now, I'm not afraid of him. He may slap me down. He may work my motor over. He may put me in a hospital somewhere. But it's going to be after the fight. It's going to be after the struggle. And I'm not afraid of big devils, little devils, stinking devils, lying devils, or any other kind. Not because I'm anything, but because within me abides the seed. Within me is the spirit. Within me is the power. God, give it to me. I have been programmed. And when you go to punch it on me, when it comes out, it's going to come out Jesus. It's going to come out Jesus. That's what's in me. And what's in me's got to come out. The proof of a person's experience is not on these pews, not in the atmosphere of this sanctified auditorium. Nay, but the proof of a person's experience is when he walks eyeball to eyeball with the devil in the devil's territory and tells him, you're a low-down lying scoundrel, and you're not going to afflict me nor affect me this way. I'm going to take dominion over you. I'm going to have authority over you. I'm going to claim the victory in the name of Jesus Christ. When you do that, he won't bother you nearly as much as he does now. Amen. You know, some people are scalp hunters. The Comanches and Apaches don't have a thing in the world, didn't have a thing in the world on some of us today in Pentecost. We hunt scalps today just like they did. Only we don't take them with a knife and do like they do. But, you know, we got something wrong with us, and some people are proud of the fact that they got something wrong with them because it gives them an excuse to be noticed and get a lot of attention. Oh, nobody here. I know that. I'm talking about all those not here. You know, if I wasn't sick, I wouldn't have anything to gripe about. If I wasn't afflicted somewhere, I wouldn't have anything to get sympathy for. Hello. I told you I was talking about those. Don't sit there and sell up. I'll think I'm talking about you. And some people, you know, you get ready to pray for the sick, and some people are going to come down. If you have a prayer line 32 times a night, they're going to come down 32 times. And they're going to come down with the attitude, bless God, everybody in the world's prayed for me. See these scalps hanging here. Look at them. I got scalps hanging all over me. I've had the best in Pentecost lay hands on me. And bless God, I ain't healed yet. Might as well get another one. Well, I've about made up my mind I'm going to quit praying for them kind of people. And I have been known to refuse to pray for people because I felt their spirit and I sent them back. I was preaching in Beaumont here a while back about this time last year. And a woman come up and she's that kind. I said, go back to your seat. She turned red in the face and she's going to stand there. I said, don't stand there. If you want to stand there, you can. But I ain't going to pray for you. Go back to your seat and sit down. She went back to her seat and sat down. A few minutes later, she come back up. I said, I told you to go sit down. I'm not going to pray for you. You can stand here all night if you want to, but I'm not going to lay hands on you. Now, I want to pray for anybody that really wants something from God, but I'm tired of praying for people just because they want my scalp to hang on their belt. Now, Brother Barnes can tell you what kind of drain that is on you. Man, you can get a hold of one of them, and they'll just short circuit you. Pull every bit of the victory and the virtue out of your body and don't no more believe God's going to heal them than nothing. I told you I'm not preaching to you. Don't get so quiet if I'm not preaching to y'all. No reason to get quiet. What we need to do is turn up that faith. God put the power in us. Did he not? Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. What does that sound like to you? That sounded to me like God said, punch, 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 program, program, program. Here, open your mouth. Crunched it in. Now you got it. And when I punch those buttons again, J-E-S-U-S-F-A-I-T-H, then the only thing that can come out of you is what I put in you. What did he put in us? He put power. He put victory. He put liberty. He put joy. He put peace. And we got an outlaw program somewhere that instead of joy, we look like we suck lemons every morning when we get up. We look like we use vinegar for mouthwash. Man, ain't nothing good ever happens to me. I just have so many problems and troubles. Well, why don't you look up? Listen, I don't live on top of the mountain. Thing. I'll swap problems with any of you and feel like I'd come out ahead. But you know what? I don't let them get me now. My worrying ain't going to change them anyway. All I want to say, Lord, if you don't take care of them, I ain't big enough to take care of them. So if you don't do it, I can't do it. So I like that song that says hallelujah anyhow. I like the song that says hallelujah anyhow. I may get sick today. But if I do, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, well, thank God you got to heal before service rest. Brother Martin and Brother Brown, we're going to have to preach. Because I can't heal myself. Now, you know, I know you stir the devil up and he gets mad and he'll jump on you. But I tell you what, if you got a sharp enough knife, when he jumps on you, he'll jump right back off. You jab him about once or twice with that knife and I guarantee you he'll jump off of you. But no, if you pet him and pamper him and wimp down and cower down like a whipped dog and go to moaning and growing and carrying on, why, he'll destroy you. I'm not preaching PMA. That bunch of garbage won't get the job done. PMA has nothing to do with spiritual attitudes. Positive thinking has nothing to do with spiritual things. May help you a little bit in your business world, but you better have something more than PMA and PT. You better have Holy Ghost, HG, in you. And when you got the Holy Ghost in you, then when you come up against anything, then what's in you's got to come out. And if you're full of the Holy Ghost, when you come up against a brick wall, the Holy Ghost will become a jackhammer, and it'll rock out, and it'll tunnel through, and it'll make a way where there is no way. I know a woman, I won't call her name publicly, I'd be glad to share with you privately. Very good woman, she loves the church. She's an old maid, 70-something years old, never been married. Has been very good. She took strays in. I'm not talking about dogs and cats. I'm talking about boys and girls that were thrown out by the family, and she'd take them in, raise them, didn't get a dime for it. Barely able to make ends meet. She'd go pick up bottles back then off the side of the road to sell them to get a little money. She worked like a dog for everything she had. She wasn't one that just go out and blow it. It's just the necessities of life. She had an old Chevrolet truck. Ever seen an old Chevrolet truck with the back fenders rusted out? You know, the outside fenders look like a chicken flapping its wing going down the road because it's just about to fall off. Sure, I said, that's the way her truck looked. And, you know, she had at that time four children that she had taken in off the streets. Their parents had just dumped them. She had taken them in, trying to send them to school, give them clothes, several of them needed shoes, and some more of them needed some clothes, and she had patched and handed down till there was nothing left to patch nor hand down. And besides that, her insurance was due, and she had everything looked like everything at one time went through, and she needed $857 and some few cents, not to blow, but she had to pay insurance, she had to buy some shoes, she didn't have any groceries. They looked like they was going to fast, not because they're spiritual, but because there was nothing to eat. And she got to praying and she said, God, you either got to show me where a whole lot of bottles are, or you got to supply my need. Now, I'm not asking you for things I want. I just got to have it. God, we got to have something to eat. These kids can't go to school. It's wintertime. I don't even have shoes for them. God said, get in your truck. I'm going to blow your mind. You think I'm crazy, I'm going to convince you today. Get in your truck. She got in the truck and started it up, and little wings began to flap on her. He told her to back out, told her where to turn. Got her out on a certain road. I could name the road because I've been down it many times. In fact, I went down that road right after she told about this. And he said, go to this intersection. And I forget how many feet past the intersection he told her to go. It was just feet. He said, get out and go over to the ditch. And she got out, went over to the ditch, and she either needed $857 and some few cents or $850-something and some few cents. And there was $800, and if she needed $857 and some few cents, there was $858. There was to the dollar above the amount of change what she needed rolled up in a rubber band in the ditch. Yeah, I went down that road. Sure did. But being a very conscientious and honest woman, she said, Lord, somebody's lost this. I can't take this. So she went and she called the newspaper and put an ad in the newspaper. All the time, this fast, and all it's having was a little gravy and had enough flour to make a few biscuits. And that's it. Morning, night, and noon. No shoes on the feet. People hounding her doors, wanting her to pay what they owed or she owed. Now, she wasn't a wild woman. She was a very careful woman. And after the third day that the ad was in the newspaper, she's crying, oh, God, you know, we're just desperate. And God said, I give you the money, use it. She said, but God, maybe somebody lost. He said, didn't nobody lose it? I put it there. Now, I don't know where God got it. I don't know if he's got a printing press up there or what. I don't know. All I know, it was good. It wasn't counterfeit. And she used the money. She used it. Supplied her needs, not her wants, her needs. It was just coming out of her what was in her. Now, don't that blow your mind? Some of you can't even believe that. That's all right, you know. I understand when you're just so far away from the Spirit, you can't comprehend spiritual things. I'm going to tell you, been a few times when I've been feeling like praying, God, you know, won't you send me that rubber band full of money? Yeah, I've been by that road a few times, and if I told you, some of you would make a trip and go to looking, wouldn't you? In fact, sometimes, you know, I just like to ride by just in case. That's one of God's, that may be one of God's depositing places, you know, and if it is, I want to help him out. But you see, that's an operation of the Spirit. How many times have I said it? I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it again until the Lord comes. I know my time's run out. I got to quit. But this is not a thing accomplished by the arm of the flesh nor the ability of flesh. But this is a spiritual operation. It is predicated on faith. Faith. Not Brother Barnes' faith. Not my faith. But your faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Isn't that what he said? That overcometh the world. Even our faith. When I did not read that wrong? Yes, I want the victory. God, give me the victory. God, do this. God, do this. All right, God said, here, I've given it to you. Here it is. What is it? Faith. Yeah, but, you know, God, I need an answer. You got it. Faith. God, I need a healing. You got it. Faith. Oh, but God, you know, that's not what I'm looking for. Well, that's all you're going to get. So you better use it. That's the key. That's the key. Put it in the lock and it'll slide the lock back. And you can walk through the door. And when you walk through the door, you walk into the storehouse of the treasures of God. Program for victory. Not defeat, not sorrow, not tragedy, not for anything in this world. We are programmed for victory. But if we found ourselves in John the Revelator's place, we'd scream and cry and moan and groan, and we'd sit in sackcloth and ashes and think the whole world stunk. We'd be like Charlie Brown, everybody's picking on me. But John didn't fool with it. He didn't worry about it. The scripture said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Man, I didn't worry about them animals. I didn't worry about them demoniacs, because God has given me power. Now, the devil comes to you every once in a while. You know, he comes to me. In fact, he comes to me at least 4, 5, 10, 15 dozen times a day. Every day of my life that I've lived and preached the gospel, he's come to me and say, you ain't a preacher. God didn't call you to preach. You don't even have the Holy Ghost. He's told me that every day of my life. You know what I tell you? A stinking liar. If I didn't believe it before, I'd believe it just because he told me I wasn't. And I know he's not capable of telling the truth, so I just believe I was simply because he said I wasn't. But you know, our problem is we believe the devil more than we believe God. Hello. Don't say it that way. Well, how would you say it? How would you put it? Well, you can put it a little easier. Well, can I? Tell me how, and I'll put it easier. Let's just say I don't have faith. Okay, you believe the devil more than you believe God. Because God said, and every man is given a measure of faith. And you'd rather take the devil's word over it than God's word. Oh, but it's just not much faith. Don't need much faith. Just a little bit of faith. God's not looking for people with great faith. God's looking for people with a little faith. Yeah, but I got a wee, tiny, teeny piece of faith. That's all right. That's all you need. You ever seen a mustard seed? What would a grain of a mustard seed be then if you can barely see that little bitty, tiny thing, you know? What would a grain of a seed be? Why, you could get a grain of a mustard seed. I guess it'd be possible that you couldn't even see it with your natural eye. Well, that's all the faith you need. Surely you got enough to fill a cavity and a tooth. If you got that much faith, then that's enough faith. If you got enough faith that it'd make a good size filling or a little filling, you got enough faith to take care of any problem that comes your way. Program for victory. God has given us power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Man, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to preach against false doctrine. I'm going to preach against false preachers as long as I live. And I'm going to say anybody that preaches anything less than the truth is a liar. And more people will be sent to hell by those false prophets than by any other means that the devil has at his disposal. Sometimes the devil sends emissaries to our services just to check it out. Well, honey, if you got Holy Ghost power and faith of moving, he'll check it out. He can't stand it. You know what I like to do? I like to take one of the devil's emissary and hit them with a Holy Ghost fireball and knock them off of their stool and get them into the church. You talk about making the devil mad. He'll gnash his teeth and pull his hair every time you get one of his emissaries. I love to get somebody that fights against the truth and let the Holy Ghost just slap them around a little bit and work them over and then fill them with his spirit. Boy, I like to see that. I like to see a preacher that's been preaching. There's more gods than one God, you know. I like to see the Holy Ghost get a hold of him and he go down in Jesus' name in the water. I like that. That's the way it should be. Because God has given us power. Well, I told you I wasn't a Sunday morning preacher. Come back tonight, I'll try to preach to you a little bit. My time's run out, so I'm going to have to quit. Here's how I'm going to quit. I'm going to say this. Anybody here want the Holy Ghost? If you'll walk down here, let us lay hands on you. If God don't do something for you, I'll declare that what I'm preaching is false doctrine. Now you get your preacher to make that kind of statement. He won't do it because he's scared. Anybody here want the Holy Ghost? Don't sit there and look at me like that. I mean it. Where's the music? I ain't worried about the music. I'm just telling you that that's God's will to fill you with the Holy Ghost. You don't need no music. What you need music for? This isn't a wedding. We don't need the processional march played. What we need is faith in God. This young lady almost received the Holy Ghost last night. I really liked the way she prayed and talked to the Lord. She really made some great strides in the spirit world last night. And I'm expecting her to go on through. In fact, I told Brother Barnes last night, I said, she's either going to receive the Holy Ghost this morning or tonight. Didn't I tell you that? Well, since she's here, she might as well go ahead and get it this morning, honey, and she can shout with us tonight. Well, anybody else want it?